How many of our listeners out there have said the phrase, "I have nothing to wear," or have heard someone else say it, "guarantee it's 100%? Or how many of our listeners have a ton of clothing, but yet only really wear a third of it? Well, I'm sure our guest, Sharon, who owns Her Simple Soul, a guide to living life by consuming less, has had that issue before, but made a conscious decision to not only start changing her wardrobe, but in that process, also start applying that to her lifestyle, which I believe has allowed her to live a fuller life with less.
Shut up and sit down.
This is Off the Walk.
Sharon, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. What a nice intro.
So what I do, it's, yeah, you know, you got to do a little bit of research at least before you start off. And speaking of that, I just wanted to say, you know, on Instagram, you had just reached 100,000 followers back in October. And as I last checked, you were already at 140,000. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, it was, it literally came out of nowhere. It happened, I think it was in September where I hit.
Oh yeah, September.
Yeah, it was September and it was my busiest time at work. So it was completely not expected. So yeah, a little crazy.
Yeah, it's, and as a fellow, you know, creative right here who has, Lance, how many followers do we have on Instagram? Like,
I don't even want to say. It's a little,
embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing, no.
That's goals. That's goals for us, you know what I'm saying?
That's goals. But I mean, yeah, I we're on Instagram. We don't have a whole lot of followers, but we're working on it. But can you give us a little bit more, kind of talk us about your business there, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. It's actually crazy that this is being called my business. I've never really saw it as my business, but okay. I'm actually taking this class right now that is encouraging me to call this a business. So it's really cool. I've literally just seen this as a hobby sort of thing. But yeah, like Lance kind of, or sorry, like, you kind of said in the beginning how I was just so overwhelmed with an overflowing wardrobe, right? And the thing is, like, clothes and everything, it's always been my favorite form of self-expression. Like, I've always been a pretty reserved person, I think, but clothing has always been my way of expressing myself. So I've always loved clothes. I've always loved putting outfits together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as my full-time job, I'm an accountant, right? So it really doesn't leave too much room for creativity. So I felt like I kind of craved that creative outlet. So I kind of wanted to like look at different avenues of like what to pursue and stuff like that. So I remember my fiance, he bought me a DSLR camera because at one point I wanted to take up photography. That didn't go very well. I didn't really pursue that. But I had this DSLR camera, so I figured, okay, it might be kind of fun to like put together outfits and post it on Instagram. Like, what do I have to lose? So I asked my fiance, will you take photos for me, like outfit photos for me? So he agreed to do that. So I started a domain, came up with a name, came up with Her Simple Soul. And yeah, just the way I went about it was, I think in hindsight, like not very authentic to what I wanted to do. Like I had the word simple in my name and kind of everything that I was doing wasn't really that simple. Like I was constantly trying to buy clothes. I was constantly trying to like make new outfits and make new posts. And like just the way that I went about it wasn't really what I was interested in, I guess. at the end of the day. So after a year of doing that, this was back in like 2017. Mm-hmm. And after a year of doing that, I kind of just stopped because I had all these clothes and none of it was really making me happy. Like I didn't really see this as like that creative outlet that I was craving. And so then I remember it was like 2018 and I discovered a few accounts kind of in like this sustainable fashion niche. And I remember at that time, I didn't really know too much about sustainability, let alone like sustainable fashion, right? So that was like this whole other community that I was like being open up to. And I felt very compelled to get to know what that was all about. And just discovering all these, like, first of all, they were like, just discovering like these Canadian local brands that I never heard about. Mm-hmm. And then just broadening my knowledge of clothing aside from like fast fashion brands that we see all over, like in malls and online websites and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. And I remember that was around the time of like Black Friday. And I remember feeling very overwhelmed by like emails and sales and buy this, buy that, like all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. So mm-hmm. yeah, it was crazy how that happened, like the timing of that. And I remember I kind of like missed posting about outfits and stuff like that too. So then about like a year went by and then it was, I remember I wanted to start posting outfits, but kind of go about it a different way, in a way where I was just styling what I already had in my wardrobe and just having fun with like styling clothes and putting together, just kind of just being creative with what I already have. And so I started a brand new Instagram account in 2020 and just discovered like this whole new community of people in either the sustainable fashion niche or just a more intentional, conscious consumerism niche. And it was so great. Like 2020 was the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it was just nice to kind of have this brand new community to be around with. And yeah, it was really great. Like someone would be hosting a style challenge every week that I would take part of. And I would just, it would just help me style what I already had in my wardrobe, figure out what voids I had in my wardrobe, what kind of style I actually enjoyed wearing, things mm-hmm. like that. So it was all kind of like an experimental era or time, I guess, in 2020. And then I really got to know what I liked wearing and what I didn't like wearing and really discovering my style that way and going more towards being very, very intentional with what I added into my wardrobe and what I got rid of. So I guess that was kind of the start of the real Her Simple Soul, I guess.
Wow. So it's relatively new then, eh? You would say then you started in 2017, but in 2017, it was still called Her Simple Soul.
It was. So it's always been Her Simple Soul. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like even with social media, like what I did is I changed my personal Instagram account to Her Simple Soul. Mm-hmm. So I was basically just like spamming my friends and family on there with like awkward outfit photos, right? So, yeah. So in 2020, I was just like, you know what? Let's just start everything brand new. I created a brand new Instagram account and yeah, just went from there.
Wow. That's amazing. So between when you stopped your first Instagram to when you started your first one, you were already kind of like, you had obviously done some research and found kind of like that sustainable movement. So you were already in that process, already changing your outfits potentially already. And like,
yeah, I would say so. Like when I discovered those few accounts kind of in this niche that I was way more interested in back in 2018, I remember Black Friday, like I bought nothing. I was just like, no. And I remember when I first discovered online shopping back in the day, like, yeah, I would be buying a lot of clothes, right? If there's a sale, I'm buying something a lot of the times. Yeah. Such a waste of money. But yeah, like I remember I didn't buy anything that Black Friday. And then just going into 2019, I remember just being a lot more mindful with my purchases, right? So kind of placing more of like a purpose on why I want to buy something before I actually went ahead to buy it. So yeah, it was kind of that process that led into like what you see now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm not a fashion person, but can you kind of like walk me through, like, what does that mean when you say sustainable clothing or sustainable choice in clothing? What does that mean?
So sustainability, in my mind, being more of a sustainable fashion brand, I would say a lot of the time, like for me, a lot of it is the fabrics that they use, right? So using more natural fibers, so things like cotton, linen, like wool and cashmere, like fabrics that aren't processed, right? So it doesn't, it doesn't place a lot of harm on the environment at the end of the day, because the fashion industry is probably one of the main, the biggest contributors to what's happening in the world right now, right? And it goes as far as maybe some companies even taken more of like the ethics route, where employees are being paid a fair wage and, you know, they have like fair working conditions and stuff like that. And you don't see a lot of that in the way that fast fashion is being produced, right? So that's kind of the extreme side of things in terms of ethics. Sustainability can also mean like carbon neutral implications, right? And stuff like that. So I kind of place it more in like how the brand is being more intentional with how they produce, right? So it's not all about just like making money and making you buy our product, right? I think for a lot of them, it's like paying a fair wage to individuals who have a talent in producing clothes and like kind of seeing clothing in a different sense. Like I place a lot of value in my clothing and I really try to take care of the clothes that I already have. So kind of looking at it beyond it being like a material item, I guess.
Okay. That's, yeah, because that's very interesting. I mean, like for myself, I like, again, I'm not a fashion person, but I mean, I've never even thought about that in that sense when I'm purchasing my clothes. So it's kind of, that kind of opens my mind to a lot, because, you know, this, at this, especially at this time, we're talking about the carbon footprint that we're kind of leaving. And, you know, clothing was definitely not on my mind about that. So I guess another question is like, how do you find more about that? Like, how do you go into these companies, find out how they're kind of, you know, what materials they're using, or, you know, you talked about the employees, how they're treated and whatnot. Is that what you've been doing? Yeah.
Like I would say a lot of the brands that I try to support, a lot of them have something in their About Us page or even just like separate pages to talk about their steps towards sustainability. So it's not just like a one-liner saying that, you know, talking about what they're doing. It's literal like pages and pages of full transparency of where their factories are, what kind of fabrics they use, where they source their fabrics, and where they're, you know, if they're locally produced or if they're produced outside where these factories are located and stuff like that. Sorry, that was my Roomba. So I really try to, and at the end of the day, just going back to intention, right? Just seeing that intention on their website. And if they've put in the effort to explain those certain things, I feel like those are the kind of brands that I really, really try to support at the end of the day. So yeah, there's lots of resources out there, even just going beyond like just the company. Like I was introduced to the Minimalists back when I started the journey too. And yeah, they kind of just open the doors to just this whole more intentional mindset as well, right? Mm-hmm. And there are other documentaries. Like, I know there's something called The True Cost. Like, that's something that kind of, I haven't watched it. I've been meaning to, but I know they kind of dig deep into like the fast fashion industry. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's just a lot out there, a lot of information out there. So
I remember I've seen that one, actually, The True Cost. And then mm-hmm. I've seen The Minimalist, well, at least The Minimalist documentary as well, too.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what it's called, but it's with those two guys, right? You're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I forget what it's called too, but
like minimalism, maybe it's probably called minimalism. Knowing them, knowing the minimalists.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really bad at remembering names of like movies and but
are there? So actually, in you speaking about that, are there any particular brands that you are fond of that you purchase like? More or less like that's your go-to brand for dressing and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I would say, so I try to, cause I remember when I first started in this whole journey, like I didn't even know about any Canadian brands that were kind of in this whole like sustainability, part of clothes, like clothing design and producing and stuff like that. So I remember the very first clothing company that reached out, they're called Encircled and they're based out in Toronto. And I really have to, first of all, give credit to them because they kind of saw me as a content creator and they were the first brand that I worked with, but like their clothing is amazing. They produce women's only clothing. So you guys have probably never heard of them, but
yeah, no, I've never heard of it. Yeah. Maybe Lance has.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Encircled. Like I love their products. Like with a lot of the brands, again, I really look for quality fabrics and so like anything with like 100% organic cotton t-shirt or something like that. So I like to buy my t-shirts from Cotton, K-O-T-N. Maybe you guys have heard of them.
Yes, I have heard of Cotton, K-O-T-N, yeah. Yes.
Actually, they have a store in Calgary and I had no idea about this until like a week ago. There's a store in Calgary. Oh. Yeah. So yeah, so they were probably one of the first brands that I also discovered when I first went on this journey.
And generally these are like, because you have fast fashion, right? Where you can buy stuff that's like, it can be like super cheap. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes sustainable clothing can be more on the pricier side, but it will last longer generally. Fast fashion, plus fast fashion follows trends too, right? Like it's like boom, one season, then it's out, then it goes the next season, then it's out and all that stuff. So
lots of trends.
So I would say that it's better. It's might be more pricey, but consciously you know that it's coming from a better source. The people who are making are getting paid more fair wages and you're willing to pay a little bit more for this and the product probably will last longer. Mm-hmm. Potentially as compared to some of the fast fashion stuff that comes out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of thinking of it in terms of like cost per wear, right? Mm-hmm. So like you can buy like a $15 t-shirt and wear it three times and have it like disintegrate in the wash, or you can buy like 100% organic cotton t-shirt for like $45 and wear it like, I don't know, once a week for the next like 5 years and still have it come out of the wash looking great, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I see it. Like I am not, for me myself, I'm not fully sustainable. Like it's not that I'm completely against fast fashion brands. I think for me, it's more so the intention behind it. And I do find that I'm more intentional when I'm buying for like for more quality brands and quality products and stuff like that, right? So it kind of goes hand in hand with not purchasing from certain fast fashion brands, just based on my experience that, you know, some of their clothes just falls apart after three wears.
Hmm. Sorry, forgive me. I know you guys keep talking about fast fashion, and I'm pretty old school, so I don't know what that means. But maybe give me a little bit of a definition what fast fashion means.
Should we pull it up on the dictionary?
Yeah.
Or on I would say fast fashion is basically like, for example, a brand that comes out with a line of clothing. Like, this is the extreme case of a fast fashion brand. Like, it comes out with new clothing 52 times a year. So that's like a new collection of clothes every single week, right? Mm. And so they're mass producing, and there's just so much excess clothes, but it's cheaper because it's mass produced. And, you know, sometimes it does involve like cheaper labor and things like that. So they call it fast fashion because it's just constantly going.
I got right? you. Okay.
And then there, the other side of it is slow fashion. So sustainable fashion companies, they do belong more in the slow fashion side of things because it's slower, right? They don't produce as quickly, that sort of thing.
Okay. Interesting. I'm learning lots right now. So it's awesome.
That's so fun.
Granted, I mean, obviously I'm also a victim of fast fashion. I mean, Uniqlo, I've purchased.
Oh, I actually love Uniqlo.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I do. Actually, so from my experience, I think they have great quality stuff, right? Mm. So this is just going back to like, I'm not completely against fast fashion, depending on the brand. Right.
Mm, okay.
So I've had like a clothes from Uniqlo it's lasted years, right? So it's more so like the intention behind what I'm buying.
That's true. I've purchased, I guess it also depends on how you wear it too. I've purchased some $4 sweatshirts at Old Navy that have lasted like 8 years. But I don't, you know, dry my clothing. I just put it in the wash and hang dry it. So maybe that helps too.
That helps a lot, actually, hang drying your clothes.
Yeah, I think it might prolong the life a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's funny too when you were saying that when you first, on your first, the first Black Friday where you didn't buy anything, I'm wondering if you probably got like the cold sweats after that. You're just like, oh man, I'm missing out on all these deals. And you're just like, but that must have been big. That must have been harder for you. I know that was for me. I've also made a conscious decision. I made it like a few years ago to also buy less clothing. And the first thing I did was literally unsubscribe from all the emails.
Yeah.
Because that... Mm-hmm. That hits you, you know?
Totally.
Like, oh, Gap. Every other week is a sale that's like 40% off. You're like, what?
Mm-hmm. So. Like at the end of the day, it's a marketing tactic for them, right? These emails. Mm-hmm. So it really gets to you. You're just like, oh my gosh, there's a sale. Or oh my gosh, there's a new item. Like I need to check this out. Mm-hmm. And that's just a great form of marketing for them. So yeah, unsubscribing from emails. I did that as well.
It's a big thing. And so when you're moving, into sustainable clothing, you're buying less. So at that point, your mentality starts changing because you might start like purging your wardrobe of anything unnecessary that you don't want, which I'm assuming was a lot, maybe
quite a bit. Yeah.
Multiple purges of clothing, and then that kind of move into your just living in life in general, where you're starting to buy less, like instead of living in excess.
Yeah, I would say so. Like during that time, I was living. So I moved out into a condo during that time. So it was a smaller space as well. So kind of just, I guess it all kind of went hand in hand because I did have the smaller space. I didn't have as much space as when I did living with my parents. And it kind of just the way I felt like I treated my wardrobe was how I kind of wanted to treat my lifestyle, because I felt overwhelmed with my wardrobe, but just having a bunch of clutter everywhere else also overwhelmed me, right? So, that happened. I had the smaller space, so I didn't want to bring as much into the home. And when I moved to Calgary last year, I moved in with my fiance, and he was living in a 600 square foot condo. So it was an even smaller space. And luckily, he's also pretty minimal. He does not hoard at all. So that really helped as well. Mm-hmm. But just going into smaller spaces and realizing that you really don't need that much on a daily basis to live your life. It was very calming, I think, for me to do that. And just having a smaller wardrobe and then incorporating that into my overall lifestyle, it just worked a lot better.
Yeah. That's interesting. I've watched who's that girl? Marie Kondo, or is it Marie Kondo?
Kondo,
my bad. But yeah, she goes, does it spark joy? And I find myself doing that kind of thing. I mean, I don't hoard a whole lot and I don't purchase a whole lot, but it's kind of like a process, right? Where you kind of go through and you kind of look and go, do I even wear some of this stuff? Like, I still have stuff that I probably look at and be like, well, maybe wear this once, in 1 year, couple years, and it's like, okay, do I really need that? So I can I hear you on that part.
Yeah, I've made so many purchases on my clothing over the years. I've gotten rid of probably 80% of my clothing, and once in a while you're like, oh, I threw that away, or I donated that. Oh, okay, I was wondering where that shirt is gone. that only happens once in a while, and it's rare. And they're like, oh, I maybe
that one have. Costume you needed or something.
exactly. And I think another tactic that I use is I also I put something away, and if I realize I don't need it over the course of, 9 or 10 months, and I realize I never needed it, I come back to it and then I'll donate the clothing or sell it off or something like that. So that's another thing that I do.
I know for some people, maybe they want to hang on to certain clothing pieces. I feel like it's totally fine if they're okay with that. But I'm kind of the same way. I've realized that I like seeing pieces that kind of have a purpose. I know I'm going to be wearing this all the time, or even an occasion piece. If I know that I love it and I'm going to wear it during every big occasion, then that can, even if it's once a year, that could stay there because I have a purpose of wanting to wear that every single time. But lots of purges. I was in the same boat.
And I was looking on your website there, and I saw that you have something called a low buy year or something is that something where it's, and that's something that a lot of our listeners can probably start doing if they want to kind of start becoming having a more minimalist approach. If you realize, hey, clothes are falling out of my closet when I open it, maybe it's time to get rid of some of it. I was wondering if you could explain more into detail about what that low buy year thing is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I forgot I did that actually. But yeah, this was back in 2020. So that's when I first started this new Her Simple Soul account. And I heard about these low buys. Of course, with 2020, with the pandemic, it made it a little bit easier for me to do this. So I went on a no buy. Not just a low buy, but a no buy from January to June. It was specifically just a wardrobe no buy. So no clothes for, I don't think I set a limit for myself at the time, but I did it for 6 months. Mm. And that's when I literally just wore what I had in my wardrobe and just tried to style those pieces and really discovered my style during that time. And I remember it was the end of June and I bought a pair of earrings, I think it was, and it was my very first purchase that year for my wardrobe or like accessories collection or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really great in just trying to discover what you do and don't like, because you're not really adding to the fluff or you're not adding to like the excess, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of just dealing with the excess that you already have. That's definitely like one of the practices. Like if someone wants to be a little bit more intentional with their wardrobes, I know people do like Nova, you know, you could call it like No by November or something. Just do it for a month, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. No by September or like, yeah, some people will do it for a month, a few months. I've seen people do it for a year and then they talk about it afterwards. It's just a really great way to kind of like discover your interests, what you like and don't like to wear, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I realized that when I was doing purging all my clothing, what I was keeping, I like oversized clothing. That's all I kept was all my oversized clothing. And then I realized I was like, oh man, I need to go to a formal evening. Oh, I don't have anything.
I had to do a purge because my wife would literally say to me, like, you've had that since like, you know, 1997 or something. And I was like, no, it hasn't been that long. And she'd pull up some photos, be like, no, see, look. And I'd be like, oh, yeah. But so I don't like, I usually try to stay as minimalist as I can and try to wear my stuff as mm-hmm. long. But I guess, I don't know. Do you think this is like, I don't know a whole lot of men that do all of this. Does like, I guess girls or women kind of do more of that kind of purchasing and find themselves in that kind of situation more than men, or do you think men are just kind of the same?
Think so. Just from what I know, or just even the community that I've met on Instagram, like a lot of them are females, right? Mm-hmm. But I also think, like, I could be wrong on this, but I feel like in terms of what's available to women in terms of like clothing options and stuff like that, I feel mm-hmm. like there's just so much.
Like, there is. Yeah, right? And I think I find that women clothing, I don't know, I could be wrong on this too, but they're cheaper than men's clothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, in comparison, or am I wrong?
I think in terms of like the number of, like the amount of styles that there are that women are able to wear compared mm-hmm. to what men wear, right? A lot of the times it's like a t-shirt, right? Whereas women can wear like 10 true. Different styles of tank tops and, you know, dresses, and just like, I think the variety makes it so that so many things are easily accessible to women. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's so much easier for women to do like hauls. So they just buy a bunch of clothes and style them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't really follow that many men in the style niche, so I'm not 100% sure. But
I used to follow a lot because I was, you know, back in the day I was doing a men's fashion blog on Instagram back in 2013 or something. So I was always also purchasing clothing, putting pictures up and all that, and then they eventually ran out of, you know, money, so I couldn't buy any more clothing. I had to stop
that. It gets expensive, right? Yeah.
Yes, it does.
And even I can, like, no matter how cheap it is, if you're buying a ton of it, at the end of the day, it's right. It's still money spent.
Exactly. So I'd rather just stay with what I have and, you know, just style to whatever, use it more creatively to mm-hmm. see what type of different outfits I can wear. And speaking of that, actually, for you, because you have less clothing, but you have to be more creative. Do you normally use maybe more neutral tones or colors in your clothing that allows that, or is it a mix?
Yeah, like I definitely have realized through my journey that I love neutrals. Like I just find it easier to style. I don't know. Well, the thing is, my wardrobe was basically all black at one point before this. Like, it was always just, well, before that, it was all color. Like, I remember with all the trends and stuff like that, it was all color. And then it went to all black. And then I kind of stayed away from black for a bit because I was like, I have too much of this. So I gravitated more towards like creams and beige and some grays. And I'm starting to incorporate a bit of black now. But I do find it easier to mix and match with neutrals. And say I were to throw in like one colored piece, it wouldn't be too overwhelming. At least I can pair that with some neutrals. So, yeah.
Have you also done the same with shoes? I don't know what your shoe collection was back then. Was it massive? Mm-hmm. And have you kind of like toned it down since then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I love shoes. So that was probably one of the, like, I remember after work, like my fiance and I would carpool back then in Edmonton. And after work, I would head to like Winners or something to wait for him. And I would immediately go to the shoe section and buy a pair of boots or something like that. Like, there was really no, it was literally just like, oh, I'm bored, I'm going to buy a pair of boots or something. It was crazy. But yeah, like it's, I would say that my collection is a lot smaller now. It's not like small, but it's definitely a lot smaller. And yeah, kind of same thing, like more neutral tones so that it kind of makes a more cohesive outfit at the end of the day, as opposed to like bright colors. And it's just all personal preference, right? I personally just don't choose to go like with super bright colors and stuff like that.
It's funny too, the comment we were talking about COVID and all that, you know, to me, I actually think that maybe people who are stuck at home, not able to go out, probably ended up shopping for more clothing, even though they're not really going out they're not really showing it off to anybody. I guess it's just the fact that it's so easy from the shop. And I'm assuming fast fashion did amazing during COVID in terms of like just being able to sell a lot because people are just sitting at home and just bored and start shopping, right? And I'm assuming a lot of people right now probably have a lot of clothing that they probably don't actually wear anymore. Like, you know,
I feel like it might even just be like loungewear, because loungewear was like a huge thing during that time. Like a lot of brands kind of took advantage of that, knowing that people were at home. So I think a lot of people were collecting a lot of loungewear. So they might have like a huge collection of that now since a lot of people aren't really working from home anymore, right?
Yeah, true. I guess, like, you know, with that being said, if you're looking to minimize and kind of, you know, cut your closet down, like, do you donate some of that stuff to certain businesses that take those and whatnot?
Yeah, like a lot. There are a lot of, I know there are like a lot of bins that you can put your clothes in to donate to certain companies, right? But actually, they say that donating actually contributes to a lot of waste as well. Just because of the volume of clothing that people have, it just contributes to this problem of like almost like over donations, right? So a lot of that actually ends up in landfills. Which is kind of crazy. Yeah. So, you know, there are certain like trading websites that I know of. Like, actually, I just worked with a brand. They're called Lucky Sweater. And they actually encourage you to trade slow fashion pieces with other people. So you're basically swapping clothes, right? And there are also like secondhand selling websites like Poshmark. Right. I know there's Vinted. Places like that to try to just like kind of find a second home for your clothing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess just kind of food for thought, and just knowing that there are those options and getting clothing.
Cause that makes sense. I guess, like, you know, even though you're donating it, you could still be making like 100 purchases, you know, in a month or something. I don't know. But, and then you're still kind of contributing cause you're buying a huge amount, even though you feel like you're doing something good and donating it. But in actuality, mm-hmm. maybe some of that kind of ends up going to waste and not really being used. So that makes mm-hmm. sense for sure.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I've donated a bunch of my clothes, right? So it's not to say that that's something that I don't do, but I guess it's just being aware of, because yeah, like you said, we just think it's such a good gesture to donate our mm-hmm. clothes, right? But yeah, it's crazy to know that a lot of that actually gets thrown out.
That is interesting. Yeah. Next time I'm going to have to just put them in a barrel, bring them outside, just burn it all. No just one can have it. and it's funny too, you donate them to like Goodwill or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they put it out there and then you go to the Goodwill and they're like marking those prices up like crazy too. And you're like, maybe even like, it's pretty intense. They're making some money off of that. And then what do they do if they can't sell it? They probably just dump it potentially. I don't know what they do.
But potentially.
Could be.
But there are like consignment stores and thrift stores and stuff like that mm-hmm. too. Right. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for someone who's looking to kind of start doing this, knowing that maybe they have a problem with the amount of clothing or stuff like that. And I know a lot of times people can get emotionally attached to their clothing. Mm-hmm. Like they just don't want to get rid of it because they're like, I'm going to wear this. I know someday, somewhere down the line, I'm going to wear this. Like what type of advice would you give to someone who wants to, but you know, they're obviously going to have some, it's going to be hard from the start.
Like who wants to pursue a more intentional wardrobe journey kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when I first started, I guess just kind of like doing a little bit of research if you're curious about this other side of the industry, right? There's so mm-hmm. many resources out there. There's so many Instagram accounts out there who talk about it. And that's kind of what I did when I discovered those few accounts. I just started to get to know different brands and stuff like that. Another thing that I did is I started a wish list. So instead of like immediately seeing a sale and putting it into cart and purchasing it, I left it in the cart and then just put it on a wish list. Right. And actually that was a huge thing for me because then now you have a list of things that you think you want. And a lot of the times when I revisited that wish list, I would look back and say, I don't really want this item anymore. Either that, or I think this is too expensive, mm-hmm. or I'll look at it and say, okay, I do want this. And then say, if a sale comes along, then at least that intention is behind it and you're being intentional with this purchase, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would highly recommend a wardrobe wish list. I think that works wonders with being intentional with your wardrobe choices. And then doing like a low buy or a no buy, right? Like that's, I feel like it really helps you get to know, like I said mm-hmm. before, what you like and don't like wearing. And it really helps you discover your style and just overall just like grow a wardrobe that you really love at the end of the day. Mm-hmm.
I do that as well. I put stuff into my cart and then they just shut down the website. I just put in a cart, click X, sleep on it. Yeah. I'm like, okay, if I forget about it, I forget about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or if it's sold out, it's sold out. It's not meant to be.
That's right. I would also say, and yeah, this has worked for me really well, to put aside your clothing that you think that you're like on the fence about in your existing wardrobe, mm-hmm. put it in a box, leave it somewhere. If you literally don't think about it for like half a year, maybe over half a year, depending if it snows or not, then I mean, that might be a different story because you got to wait, come back. But like, if you don't think about it and it's not in your mind and all that, come back like 9-10 months later and then you realize I did not need this, mm-hmm. you know, and just donate it. It might be a bit hard at first because I had an emotional attachment as well to my clothing, which is interesting. But slowly and slowly, I would just stick it in that garbage bag, wrap that garbage bag up, and then walk out the door. And then, yeah, it's gotten easier and easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I know some people, they'll have like maybe piles, right? As opposed to like, this is going straight into the donation pile. Or like, it doesn't necessarily need to be like, this is staying and this is going. Like you can have a pile that's, okay, this is a maybe and I'll revisit this in like a month's time. Maybe put it like in a little corner so you don't see it as like clutter, right? Because that could get overwhelming. But yeah, I know a lot of people who do that. And then sometimes they'll go back to it like a few months after and actually find some gems in there and be like, oh, actually, I feel like I could style this, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you are guilty, though, of still getting a lot of? Like maybe earrings. You're like, oh, man, you know what? I still buy like a pair of earrings a week. Well, I'm not, obviously that's an extreme example, but I'm not sure if there's still something that you're like, you just still not like to buy a lot
really.
Of.
No, I really try to limit my purchases, if at all, to like one or two wardrobe items a month, if that. Okay. Like, yeah, and I'll always revisit my wish list to see if they're. Like if a sale comes along, if I see a sale from a website, I go back to that list and see if there's anything that I added to that previously. So yeah, I'm pretty proud to say that I don't have an excess of anything, which is great.
No, that's nice. So you limit your purchases to like 1 to 2 pieces only per month?
I try to. Yeah. Okay. Like I don't put it as like a hard rule or anything like that, but I try to be a little bit more conscious where like this month I want a pair of like knee-high boots. I know that's something that I've always wanted. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on this month, to try to find the pair that I'm looking for. So I won't really look at anything else, right? Maybe when Black Friday rolls around, I'll take a look at my wish list and see if there's anything, but
yeah.
Yeah, I try to focus on like one piece per month. And then I kind of look at the season, like winter's coming. Yeah. So try to figure out like if there's anything that I'm missing in my wardrobe for winter, if I could fill that void, but kind of allocate it to certain months, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like, and that savings too, like just in terms of just money that you save can be used to do other great things
that
do last a lifetime, maybe like experiences. Or something like that and all that stuff, or like great food.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Calgary's food scene is getting pretty great. So, well, I've been here like a little over a year, so I have a lot to discover, I feel like.
Yeah, it's definitely gotten better over the years. I think before we used to look at Vancouver, the Toronto, like the bigger cities, to go and find the kind of different types of food to have. But it's getting more variety and it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's save our money for the food.
Yeah. So I guess like I had one more question, but kind of turning around a little bit, talking about, you know, your name, I guess, how did you come up with that name? And because we always get the same question about us, but was there some kind of process that went into that?
Well, I knew I wanted to like identify myself as like a female who wants to live like an uncomplicated life. So I wanted it to be like a kind of like a lifestyle sort of thing. I think when I initially thought of my blog, I wanted it to be a lifestyle blog. So I thought of Her Simple, and then I was like, okay, well, I really like style too. So Her Simple Style. And then I was just like, oh no, that's too generic. And then I was just thinking, like, I wanted something a little bit more, like, individualized. Or so I kind of thought of soul as in, like, soul purpose. And then because I really like shoes, like, soles of the feet kind of thing, right? So kind of a play on words. And then also it's a homonym for, like, soul, S-O-U-L, right? Mm-hmm. So her simple soul. So I just remember I kept repeating that, and I was like, oh, I like how it sounds. Let's just go with it. So.
Yeah, it sounds, I think it sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's got simple soul. Mm-hmm. It's got the two, it's your lifestyle in a sentence, in three words.
Right. In three words. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. So Sharon, I'd like to thank you again for coming on to the podcast here and sharing your lifestyle with us. And
for those who
would want to come, you know, check you out on Instagram or on your website. So it's just Her Simple Soul for both Instagram and on your website, right?
Yeah, Her Simple Soul. Soul spelled S-O-L-E. And my website, hersimplesoul.com.
Awesome. I mean, this was great. I personally enjoy talking about fashion just because, and especially how you're doing it, because I've also had my journey in from buying in excess, doing that to, like, slowly purging over the years, sometimes 2 to 3 purges over the year, to now where I have not too much left, you know. I made sure not to purge all my underwear, you know. I still gotta have to make sure I gotta wear underwear every day. But besides that, like, I have purged a lot of my clothing and realized that, yeah, I actually don't need that much. I can wear, you know, I only need like 4 or 5 t-shirts, really. That's really all I need. And I realized that, you know, I don't need 85 t-shirts, you know, when 5 or 6 will do.
Yeah. So. And I think at the end of the day, you also want to love every single piece of clothing in your wardrobe. Like, imagine just opening up your wardrobe and just, the issue is not knowing what to wear because you just love everything so much, right?
Exactly. And to prevent you from saying, I don't know what to wear when, and you have like 1,000 clothes, which,
yeah.
But I mean, I've said that myself. Like, how is this possible?
I've said that a million times.
Exactly.
I haven't, but I definitely have learned a lot on this episode, and you definitely made me kind of, you know, kind of look at fashion in a different way. And I think the next time I make purchases, I'm going to be a little bit more, how do you say, like, aware of, you know, where these brands are being created, and, you know, the sustainability part of that. Because I think that was definitely something that did not register in my head if I was making a purchase. So I think that is definitely something interesting for me to take a look at in the future of the purchases that I make. So thank you for that.
That's awesome.
And great, thank you again, for coming on to show and sharing your insight with our listeners.
Of course. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And for our listeners out there, make sure to come walk with us again.
See ya.